Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm continuing on the teaching I did the previous week on all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And I mentioned that it takes a determination for deliverance. A number of weeks ago, I sent a copy of that original teaching, Determined for Deliverance, Prepare to Triumph, to one of our brothers that is going through a period of time in overcoming sickness. And he sent me back an email how blessed he was by the truths in it and mentioned again the five specific things that I shared to get us started in being determined for deliverance or areas to kind of focus in on that we can be determined for our deliverance. And with his insight and his sharing, it really inspired my heart to come back to all manner of sickness and all manner of disease and share some of these great truths with you. Before I go into those specific areas that sort of require our focus, I did want to read you this record from 1 Kings chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 22. When Solomon had the temple built, he was aware that God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He knew that. But he wanted a place, a contact point, not for God, but really for the people that they could go to and have expectation that they would receive whatever they requested from God and what they needed to do to put themselves in preparation so that they would receive God's promises. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, it begins, "And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven." That was a manner that many times that the biblical people would pray. They would stretch out their arms, put their palms toward the heavens, and pray that way. It symbolized that they were giving their request to God and, of course, expecting to receive back an answer. That's not a requirement if you prefer sitting in a chair or you prefer kneeling someplace. You're certainly welcome to do that. You want to prostrate yourself on the ground. Whatever it is that would help you put yourself in the position that you are going to receive from God what you are requesting for him or requesting from him, that you will receive that wonderful promise of God. Well, he spread forth his hands and he held them with his palms facing up, and he was going to lift these situations to the Father and had great expectation to receive them back down. I certainly feel the same way, and it really inspired my heart as far as thought and concerns, because when we do things like our special weekend, which we did back in May, we should have great expectations of deliverance. We should have great expectation in the categories of healing, in the categories of being delivered, and we should prepare ourselves particularly for those type of events and make sure that we have set our hearts and our minds in a proper position. And that's exactly what Solomon was endeavoring to do for the children of Israel. He didn't want them to come to the temple and walk away empty or not walk away completely filled. You know, I always think of Psalm 23, "Thou preparest a table before me in the face of mine enemies." And you know, you have a whole table there. Don't walk away from the banquet hungry. Make sure that you get everything. Eat to your fill. Just beautiful. Well, verse 23 says, "And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart." That's a beautiful thing. Now, he keeps his covenant. Well, certainly we have a covenant with him. It's the New Testament, the New Covenant, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And you can question whether your heart's right with God or whether your heart's not right with God. But I'll tell you what, simple thing. If you feel that you've sinned, that you've broken fellowship with God, thank God. You pray right there. Father, if I've done anything, whether knowingly or unknowingly, to have broken fellowship with you, I thank you for your forgiveness. And I know you are faithful to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I'm giving it to you right now. And here is my heart before you. Beautiful. How's that for establishing your heart? With all their heart. Verse 24, who have kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, that thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hands as it is this day. So, you know, with God, there is no past. It's not really a future. God is an ever-present now, and we're in the now. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And you know, God is faithful, and I'm sure he did that. Not every king that Israel had after that was faithful to God. But the promise was always there, and the blessing was always there. And whether the king was or was not walking for God, the children of Israel still received the blessing. So, very beautiful. He's a loving father. It says, and now, O God of Israel, verse 26, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? See, he realized, but he wanted that contact point for the people, not for God. God, the scriptures tell us, God has a dwelling place. He has a habitation. That's in us. In the New Testament, we make up the temple of God, each tabernacle. We are filled with God in Christ in us. So that contact point is resonant within us. Beautiful. But he wanted a place where the people could go so that they would expect that God heard their prayer. They would expect that God received their request. They would expect that God had answered their request and sent the promises to them. So that's really wonderful. It says, verse 28, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Well, we know from 1 John 1:9 that if we have broken fellowship with God, he is if we confess our broken fellowship, confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what should our expectation be? So, you know, I generally like to start when I'm going to be making requests to God. I'd like to start that way. Father, if I've done anything, especially if I'm going to be ministering to someone, God, if I have done anything, loving Father, if I've done anything that would take me out of alignment and harmony with you, thank you that it's reestablished now in the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive my broken fellowship. And I know that you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Now I'm ready to go to work. Now I'm ready to have my prayers and my requests answered and the requests of the individual that's before me to be ministered to. It's a great thing. We should have great expectations. God is faithful. He's just. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justify the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Well, he cleanses me of all unrighteousness, and therefore I am once again what? Righteous, sure. And I do this a lot. Like, for instance, I have a request to God, perhaps in the prosperity category. I need finances for something or something in that situation. I thank God for my request, but then I also say many times, Father, keep the adversary from blocking my receiving my request. At times I even exercise my spiritual authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forbid the enemy, the evil, the wicked one. I'm condemning his ways, and I forbid him from blocking that promise, that blessing from coming to me. So, Father, you pour out your blessing to me, and I command in the name of Jesus Christ that no evil spirit can block that blessing from arriving to me. It should be there. That's my expectation. And his way upon his head, and justify the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Well, we have already received the gift of righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in Christ. Verse 33, when thy people Israel be smitten down before thine enemy. And a lot of times that seems to happen. You know, it happens to us at times. We do have an enemy. He does attack. It doesn't mean that I'm in broken fellowship because he attacked and I got to figure out how to reestablish my fellowship. It doesn't make any difference. You could be as good as gold and he'll attack you, and you could be as rotten as a stinker and he'll attack. You know, he's an enemy. Well, at times we're smitten down, we're hit by the enemy. You know, when I was in the army and a soldier got wounded, we didn't stand over and call him a jerk and how did you ever let the enemy shoot you? You know, that's ridiculous. We immediately started to tend to his wounds. That was the most important thing, to get him healthy again. Well, at times the enemy comes out against us. Because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplications unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, it just seems like, you know, my prayers aren't getting answered. Something's wrong, because God answers prayer. So if it seems like they're not getting answered, then maybe there's an enemy there that's blocking it, and we have the right to use our authority to command them to get out of the way, or you can just thank God that no enemy can touch his blessing from coming to you, that there's no enemy that can stop his answer to your request. Now, it may take a period of time, but look, you stay faithful and you stay in there. And you stand and you believe and you will receive. There's not a request that you make to God that goes unanswered. Because that would mean there's a failure in God. The only thing can be is in the failure of our circumstances where we have not utilized our authority or we have allowed things to get to our minds and to our hearts that have hazed over the blessing of God and we didn't see it. But it's always there. So you want to prepare yourself to receive it. Well, it's shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee. If they remember, this is in the context of the idiom of permission, right? You understand that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The veil's been removed. We should see the glory and the beauty of God. So if things are not right, put the blame where it belongs, so to speak, back on the enemy and get him out of the way. Command it to be dispersed. And confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou hast afflicted them. We know God doesn't afflict us. Who afflicts us? Our enemy. Whether we're good, whether we're bad, he will still endeavor to afflict us, but we can resist his temptations. We can stand against him, and he has to flee from before us. So we can keep him from blocking the promise and blocking the answer to our request so that we can receive it. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sins of thy servant and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Beautiful. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, whatsoever prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people of Israel, which thou knowest every man the plague of his own heart. Let's get rid of the negatives. And God will even help us and deliver us from the darkness that obscures our own hearts. Areas where we have not believed correctly. You know, just because it's in your heart doesn't make it right. Our hearts, there's nowhere in the scriptures that tell us that our hearts are right. But it tells us how we can cleanse our heart before God. How we can purify ourselves by our confessing our broken fellowship and getting back in alignment and harmony with the Heavenly Father. But if there be any plagues, if there be any sicknesses, whether it's through my own sin or just the adversary's attack, I can come there and spread forth his hands toward this house. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So what does it mean that thou knowest the hearts of all the children of men? Well, what emanates from the heart? What do we do with our heart? We believe, right? God, in other words, God knows where my heart is, where my heart needs to be in order to receive that promise, and he will direct our steps right there so that we wind up at the right place at the right time, so to speak, with our arms extended to receive his promise. You got it? I'll cover this in a little more detail, but it's God's desire that we receive what we have requested from him. And he knows what it will take for us to believe. And if I am not at that place, he can lead me right to that place. Because he knows my heart. He knows how to get it there. If I have to believe to receive, and I do it with my heart, then he will know how to direct my heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths right to the place where you need to be, where your believing heart will receive the promise and your request to your prayer, the answer to your prayer. Beautiful. That they may fear or respect thee all the days that thou live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger. Isn't that beautiful? You say, well, it's Israel. Well, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of far country for thy name's sake. They're prepared for deliverance. They're coming. They're on their way. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of earth may know thy name, to fear or respect thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. Isn't that beautiful? Man, even to look how kind he is even to the stranger. And we're his children. Look, our relationship with God is father with children. It's not something that happens on Sunday or some other day of the week. It's every day. And I think at times we don't really take Christianity seriously. In the sense, you know, and I'm not trying to reprove you or make you feel bad, but to acknowledge that God is really there. And we also have a responsibility to try to bring our hearts to places where we can receive. And not just it's not just a place of attendance. You know, there were people that went to the temple and they didn't receive because it's not just being there. It's they were ready to receive. They had their hands extended, so to speak, and they were ready to receive. They were not only ready to give their request, but then they were ready to receive God's answer. And that's why many times in our requests, we need to bathe it in prayer. We ought to bathe our lives in prayer. Look at the Gospel of Mark. Prayer is an important part of a believer's life. And we ought to take more time for prayer in our day-by-day living and make it a wonderful part of our life. In Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't mean that you have to get up early in the morning necessarily, but it's a good time before the world starts getting moving or life starts getting starts moving. And you don't have that opportunity to set aside to really get quiet on the inside so that you know I've made this request to God. God has heard me, and now I'm expecting the answer. You know, Jesus needed to get alone at times. So if our Lord needed to get alone at times, I'm sure he prayed at fellowship. I'm sure he prayed at other times. But there are times where you just need to get by yourself, where you can just get quiet and know that you have prayed to God, your everything's set, your heart, you're in alignment and harmony, everything's set, you've let God know your prayer, and now you got your hands out ready for with expectation. You've prepared your heart to allow him to direct your steps so that now you can receive his promise to you. Really something. You know, we pray at meals and other things, but we need to also get alone where we're undisturbed and we're not distracted. And obviously, sometimes our requests need time. We need time to sort it out. What am I praying for? What do I really want in this situation? How do I really want it? And this way I have a great expectation on how to receive it. Great while before day, get the jump on the day and the activities of life. Look at Luke chapter 6. Here's another one. I know people just say, I don't want to be religious. I'm not religious. That's a vague, that's kind of a vague thing because we're supposed to pray. The scriptures tell us to pray. So, you know, I look at my Lord and I see what he did so I can learn so that I can walk in his steps. And here's some of his steps in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, speaking about Jesus, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Do you think that Jesus Christ was insincere in his prayer? Do you think that Jesus Christ, well, it says he continued all night in his prayer. So at times it takes a lot of prayer to set your heart and set things right. He prayed all night. Particularly, in major life-changing decisions, it requires longer prayer. Not that it takes so long to explain it to God, but it takes that long to get your heart settled that God is going to answer the prayer and you are going to get your request. How long should I pray? As long as it takes to get my heart absolutely set that I'm going to receive an answer to this prayer. Because I know God always answers prayer. 1 John 5:14. Let's go there. Just want to set this for you. The great records, all of them are absolutely true. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. However long it takes you in prayer to get to that place, that's how long you need to pray. Otherwise, what's the point of praying? You know, it's to really set in your heart, Father, this is my situation, this is my need, and I have considered it, and your scriptures tell me it's right and proper, and here it is, and I am requesting your answer for this, and I am praying, and I will continue to pray until I am confident. This is the confidence we have in him. I'm going to continue to pray until I'm ready to walk away absolutely confident that you are going to answer my prayer. Still, some things in life take a period of time. I'm not the only one believing. You know, we have an enemy. But we will receive the answer to our prayer and even beyond, because God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He knows the entire situation. You know, he sees the entire chessboard. He knows where every piece is. I like to watch chess sometimes because I like to see the way the guy sits there and he'll put his hand on or his fingers on a particular piece, and you can see he's studying the board. He sees where every other piece is, and if I move here, what will be my next move and the move after that. And if he moves in response to this, I can move this and all. I love the way that they just think it, see the whole. Well, God sees the entire chessboard. He knows everything. But it is something. In some situations, perhaps ministerial situations, you're going to minister to people. You're doing a big weekend and your expectation is to minister to people. How much time do you spend in prayer? Well, the time you need to spend is until you're absolutely convinced that everyone who came there with a need is going to receive whatever their request is. Whether it's today or tomorrow, I'm still convinced. I can watch them walk out the door and still have a problem, but I know they're going to be completely healed because I am convinced God heard my request and that I did everything I could for that individual. It maybe here in this situation, it says in verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12 whom he named apostles, and it goes on to name them. That might be one of the reasons why he spent all night considering every individual and so on and so forth and letting his heart known before God in major ministry development situations may require a longer period of time to pray. But he was willing to go all night with it. How long are you willing to pray? You know, well, you ought to take as long as it takes to get where you are absolutely confident that God has heard your request and that you are going to receive an answer to your prayer and that he will direct your steps right to that place. Let's go to Matthew 26. I did want to tell you the five areas that can merit our focus in healing and deliverance, in standing against all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. One is prayer. And this is the one I'm looking at right now, prayer. Sometimes you need to get alone. And you need to get away from the distractions. And you need time. And sometimes it may take a lot longer. Maybe you have to go back two or three times, you know. But if you're really serious about it. Matthew 26, verse 36, it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." This is after the Last Supper, and Jesus is going to the garden, and he's going to be taken in Gethsemane, and he knows the things that he's going to have to endure, and he goes there, he goes to Gethsemane, and he tells his disciples to sit here while I go and pray over there. Even, you know, he didn't want to sit there and pray with his disciples about the situation. This wasn't a good time. Maybe the disciples would get all worried and all this other stuff instead of believing with him. So he had to step aside to handle it. And verse 37 says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," Zebedee and Duda, "the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Beautiful. He takes with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John. And he tells them that they were to go with him, but then he wanted them to watch with him. So he's going to step aside even from them, but they're to be there and watch with him. What he wanted them to do was tarry, remain, and watch. Keep awake with me. Abstain from sleep. Keep awake. And sometimes that's the necessary thing. Situations are so pressure-filled. And, you know, you'd think, well, I just need to go to bed. No, at this particular time, they needed to stay awake. They needed to watch with him and pray. Keep awake, keep watch. Now, I'm sure the other men were keeping watch. I know he was expecting the soldiers to come and take him, and he wanted them to keep an eye out, but he also wanted Peter, James, and John to keep an eye out so it didn't turn into this big Civil War battle and all this other stuff in a great confrontation, or everybody run off and you got all this trouble. So he told them to watch with him. Verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Well, he knew what he had to do, and he knew what it would require. But he said, "God, you know, if there's any way out of this, if there is any way that I don't have to go through all this stuff, I sure would appreciate that you could direct my steps." Sometimes situations in life are such that you're sort of boxed in. And Jesus needed the resources of the strength, spiritually, physically, in every other way, mentally, so that he could endure through the ordeal he knows he's coming up to. Well, verse 40 says, "And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" Sometimes for us, 1 hour is too long to pray. How long do you want to watch with them? Well, until we're absolutely confident that when we walk away, we know they're going to receive. But in this situation, the spiritual pressures and so forth were so severe that they fell asleep and couldn't do the job. Couldn't you watch with me? Verse 41, watch and what's the next word? Pray. Watch and pray. This is a form of the word. When I taught called to prayer, I taught on the Greek word prosukomai. And I shared with you that the word prosukomai, at times it means to request resources. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ needed. He had to have a real strengthening physically to endure the physical torture he was going to have to go through, mentally to endure the mental pressure he was going to go through, and spiritually to endure the spiritual things. They needed to be there. He wanted other people there praying with him so that would help his confidence that he was definitely going to receive it and he would be able to stand through this whole ordeal. Really something. This word prosukomai really means to close off the world until your heart is set, you are sure it will come to pass. It's also used as a vow. The noun form is the word translated vow, the noun form of prosukomai. Really something. It's really a real focused prayer. And they're making this request, and it's very focused. They're not just there, okay, Lord, thank you for the day, and we hope everything goes well for us. It's much more. It was a real focused prayer. Their whole heart, their mind, their souls were engaged in this prayer. And you pray to close off the world, everything that the world is going to present itself, and all the situations in life. You know, we pray for our country, and then you go and read the newspaper, and the next thing you know, you think, oh gosh, what the heck did I, you know, we're really at the end of the line. Then what'd you bother to pray for if you think you're at the end of the line? I pray for new beginnings. and you stay there and you get your mind absolutely set. And at times you have to close off the world. You have to close off what the doctors told you. You have to close off what other people have told you. You have to close off all these other things, you know, the medications they give you, and they give you 37,000 other things that are twice as terrible as the disease you have. That they can cause. You got to close off all those things and get those locked out of your mind and get your mind set until your heart is set and you are sure it will come to pass. And you do it as even for yourself as a vow. I am not going to allow the world to get to me. My God has said, beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, and I am going to make my soul prosper. I am cutting off from my mind and my heart, everything that is negative and goes against the promise of God that he has promised me, and I am going to knock it. Now, I don't have to argue with the doctor. I don't have to argue with my pharmacist. I don't have to argue with, it's a personal vow that I have done within myself. What's the point? They're not going to believe me anyways. And I'm the one that has to believe. So I close off the world and I stay there and I set my heart, God, I am giving my life to you. Here is my situation. I need physical healing. I need deliverance. And I'm going to stay here and I'm going to listen to you. And you are going to direct my steps and get me to the place where my heart absolutely believes it. And I'm staying here until I'm convinced you've heard my prayer, because I know if you've heard me and I've prayed according to your will, I have the position, I have petition that I have desired from you. So, Father, I'm just going to stay here, and at times I'm just going to just set my mind on your love and your goodness. I'm just going to speak in tongues, and then I'll I may even request it again and thank God again. And then I've just spent some time just sitting there speaking in tongues and just letting my heart settle. And until I know, God, you are absolutely present here. You are right here with me. You've heard my request. I know you will not fail me, and I'm going to receive the promise. How I'm going to do it is still not quite clear, but I am going to stay here until I'm convinced that you're going to direct my path, and you are going to lead me right to the place my heart needs to be in order to receive. If it's not ready tonight, you will direct my steps. And I close off the world, I close off the x-rays, I close off what the doctor told me and all that stuff. Right now, Father, it's just me and you in the soundproof room. And I am letting you know my request, and I am not leaving until I'm absolutely confident that you have heard me, even though I know you hear, but I want my heart to know. And you go that way. It's really something. Focus prayer. Set yourself apart. You know, another form of that word prosukamai means to set yourself apart because you could be called upon any moment. I'm thinking of that in terms of ministering to people. I may get a call in the middle of the night that somebody needs ministering. He can't wait 3 hours for me to sit down and pray. So I pray. And I get myself prepared. If anything comes up today, tonight, tomorrow, Father, that my heart is absolutely prepared. Because sometimes people call you and you're so shocked, your heart drops. I want to make sure that I'm ready. So there it is. At times, it's an urgent requisition for resources, where you can't rely on your flesh because the resources are not there in your flesh, so that you have what is necessary for the work that you need to do, like in casting out devils and healing the sick. You know, people sit through a class and then they think, okay, now I can go out and cast out devils. Is your heart absolutely prepared? Are you prepared to deal with the situations that can come up and make sure that that individual receives what they came to you to get done, and that your heart is absolutely there, that you are absolutely confident? See, you have to just keep getting to the reality of God in your life and our relationship with him as his children. It's really something. It says, watch and pray, verse 41, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came back and found them asleep again. I'm sure Peter and James and John are saying, no problem, Jesus, we're here. We'll keep each other awake. We're going to stand on what? We're going to handle this situation. And he comes back and all three of them are conk shoe. He came down and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a what? Third time. So even our Lord at times had to repeat the prayer. He wanted to make sure that his heart was absolutely set, that he would have the resources necessary, because if he knew the cup wasn't going to pass from his hand, and he had to have the resources spiritually, mentally, physically, in every other way to endure the things he would have to go through in order to accomplish for us. And he had to pray three times. How often are you willing to pray? So, just great. Well, I've got some other things. There are five specific things: prayer, meditation, vision, study, and praise. And we'll get to the others next week when we meet again. And I still want to continue in this to give you these different things. But deeply consider what I have shared with you today, and let's strengthen our prayer lives, not only for ourselves, but those that may need ministering to. And situations in life, there are situations that we are praying for people I have never met and probably will never meet. But that should not determine my focused heart in my prayer life for those situations and those individuals. So I wanted to share this with you, and we'll continue in these. But the first step in determined for deliverance is to make sure it is bathed in prayer. And I mean soaking wet. It's bathe things in prayer. And let's get our hearts set that wherever we need to bring our heart to the place that we will receive the promise of God, then we are going to stay and pray until we're absolutely confident that God will direct our steps to that place. God bless you. Love you. You are God's best.